you love her. Tell her like you mean it. Don't do it just because I told you to. We'll do it again. Awesome. All right, Jordan, you ready? You got it? Thumbs up. We're good? Passion will sustain you guys. Passion will sustain you. If you guys need to bring notebooks. I know we gave you guys free notebooks, and so if you lost it, you need to find it. Huh? I know you didn't. That's okay. It's not your fault. You forgot yours? That's okay. That's okay. I'm not, like, it's okay if you guys forgot it. If you guys left it at home, that's okay. I'm just saying that you guys, if you don't have your notebook, you guys need to think ahead of time. Think, okay, this is how you guys need to think. You guys need to think ahead of time and be like, oh, I have church tonight. Oh, I should take notes. Oh, I can't find my notebook, so I should find something else that I can write on. And so you just get, like, sometimes like when I was in 180 up in Marysville, if I didn't have my notebook with me, sometimes I'd grab like an offering envelope, and I'm not suggesting you guys do this because we probably don't have a lot of them, but I used to grab an offering note and just take notes on that, because taking notes helps you retain better. It's scientifically proven, and it'll help you remember. And that's why I tell you guys to get the podcast all the time, because you guys need to constantly just be having that word poured into you. I can consistently listen to the Turning Points podcast up in Marysville. I listen to their podcast like almost every day. Like, I listen to Pastor Mike speak, because the words that he brings are life. The words that he speaks are life, and I need that. And a lot of times, you guys need that infilling. Summer camp. What? Summer camp. Oh, yeah. And those of you that went to summer camp, you guys, the podcast is up. You guys need to find it. Yeah. It's just go 180628. And it'll come up 180628. And get all those podcasts. Just go online and get every single thing that Turning Point puts out. Just get everything. Because it's all good. And it all is applicable to your guys' lives. Especially summer camp. Those of you that went to summer camp, it was amazing, right? I'm sure maybe some of you guys have already forgotten some of the words that were spoken over you guys. You know, some of the stuff that was preached, you guys probably have forgotten a little bit of it. And that's okay. You can't remember everything. It's hard to remember everything. I'm a forgetful person, and I forget things. So it's okay if you forgot things. And that's why you go listen to it over and over and over again, so that way you have that consistently infilling, because passion will sustain you guys. Passion will sustain you. When you're passionate about something, what do you guys do? When you're passionate about like a movie, or you're passionate about like the newest Britney Spears, just kidding, the newest like CD that came out, we'll probably have to edit that out of the tape. but the newest CD comes out, and what do you guys do? You buy it, and what do you do after that, after you buy it? You listen to it over and over again, but don't you guys almost like evangelize to each other about it? You're like, dude, you have to listen to this CD. It's amazing. I do it all the time with music. I have a friend in Marysville. He doesn't like Delirious. Does anyone know who Delirious is? Okay. You guys, that's probably maybe before your time. I know I did. They're still making CDs, though, even though they're like 60 now. But anyway, I have a friend up there, and he doesn't like Delirious at all. Like, he's, like, adamant on hating Delirious. And I'm like, I love Delirious. I think Delirious is very innovative. They write their music differently than other Christian artists, and I like that. I like people that are not the same flow of Christian music. They kind of stream off. And I... all the time, every time I see him, like, I always am like, dude, you have to listen to this song. And I don't tell him it's Delirious. I'm like, I try and sneak it in there. I'm like, you have to listen to this. It's really good. And I haven't won him over yet, but I will. He will be listening to Delirious by the day I die. I promise you. I'm just kidding. But really, if you guys get excited about something, you tell everybody. Like, if you see a sweet movie, you're like, man, that movie was awesome. Did you guys see that movie? You didn't see that movie? You got to see that movie. It was awesome. It was so good. Don't you guys do that? You guys do that? Who does that? Come on. Yeah, I do that all the time. If you're passionate about Christ, you will do that with Jesus. And Jesus will consistently be on your lips. You'll be like, were you guys there last week? God completely moved. You know, God was moving all over me last week. I was just praying, and I felt the Holy Spirit. And you just begin to talk. You talk about the good things God is doing. Because testimony breaks down barriers. Testimony breaks down the enemy's hold that the enemy has on their life. Because testimony defeats the enemy. It does. And we're fighting with spiritual weapons. And so you begin to testify. You begin to tell. Who was here last week? Okay, last week was amazing. I don't know if you guys, like, last week was, like, pivotal, like, in this ministry. Like, God was, like, moving so much in this ministry. And we prayed. We prayed and we worshiped pretty much the whole time. And it was amazing because we were seeing God just move. And we were seeing breakthrough in other people's lives. You know, I was praying for people. And the Holy Spirit was just filling people. And they were being changed. And we prayed for our friends. We prayed for the youth. And we saw, and I guarantee you, the people that we prayed for last week, they're not going to be the same. And so when you're passionate about something, you talk about it all the time. I'm very passionate about music, and I know a lot about music. And I can tell you everything if you want to know. And I can talk about it, like, forever. And I'm passionate about it. I love it. I love music. And so this is how you guys need to be with Jesus, because it will sustain you. It will sustain you. And tonight we're going to talk about something that's really important. And it was something that I believe is applicable to you guys' lives. There we go. Okay. So the title tonight of this message is Love the Desert. Love the Desert. L-O-V-E, the D-E-S-S-E-R-T. It's two S's. No, I looked it up. I knew it. I had it one S, and I was like, okay, I have to check this. And so I typed in like Google, because I was just like, okay, I'll just type it in and see what they have. I know. They lied to me. Google is a liar. Anyway, Love the Desert, D-1-S-E-R-T, Google. So 1-S. No, desert. Yeah, desert is 1-S. Dessert is 2-S's. Okay, I'm glad we figured that out because that was like one of my struggles today. I was like, is it 2-S's or 1-S? Okay, so Love the Desert. So I'm going to pray real quick. God, I thank you so much for this day. Danny, I'm praying. Was it you? It was you? Jake, I'm praying. This is a holy moment. It's okay. I forgive you. God, I thank you so much for this time. God, I thank you for just the opportunity, Lord, to come and just hear your word. And God, I pray that the word would seep deep into our souls, that would seep deep into my heart and into the hearts of these young people. In Jesus' name, and God, I pray that they would leave changed and that they would love the desert, that they would love the times when it feels like God is not there, that it feels dry. In Jesus' name, amen. Love the desert. It's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do, to love the desert, because the desert is dry. The desert is hot. The desert is uncomfortable. The desert, you're sweating like profusely. You got sweat everywhere. And you're just dripping. And your clothes are all damp because you've been sweating so much. Like the Philippines. Has anyone, never mind. You guys haven't been to the Philippines. I've been to the Philippines and it's hot. And you just think about sweating and you're sweating like profusely. And so tonight we're going to talk about Love the Desert because I know there's a lie that goes out with Christianity, that when you become a Christian, everything's going to be happy. That everything's going to be like, yay, it's good. I'm floating on clouds. I don't walk anywhere. I levitate. You know? And that's not true. It's not true that Christianity is not like that. Oftentimes, there's some dry periods. There's some deserts that you guys will be faced. And you can't rely on your feelings. You can't rely on whether I feel God or not. You can't rely on, you know, is God really here? You know, he feels really distant right now. I'm not really feeling God. I'm not sure if he's really for me. You can't rely on your feelings, especially in the desert. Because in the desert, it's really hot and it's really uncomfortable. And when you get really hot and you start like, you know, like sweating and you're like, you're overheating, you start hallucinating. And you start thinking things that aren't really real. Have you heard of mirages? You start seeing things that are not there. And you start seeing little, like, you see like these things that you're like, oh, look over there, it's a McDonald's in the desert. And it's not there. And so you can't rely on your feelings. And you can't rely on your physical eyesight. And you can't rely on your thoughts. You have to rely on God in the desert, especially in the desert, because when you're in the desert, it's hard. I'm not going to lie to you guys. It's sometimes in your faith, it's going to be really hard. Sometimes you're going to feel like, God, where the heck are you? God, I feel so alone right now. And you have like desert days, and like, you know, you try not to, but the desert days come. I mean, a lot of you know, like, one day, like, I just had the horriblest day in my life one day in a day. And it was, like, I think it was, like, a couple months ago, or maybe a month ago, I'm not sure. And I stayed in bed the entire day because I was so depressed. I was thinking about killing myself. I was thinking, you know, like, these crazy thoughts because I was in the desert, and I was seeing things that were not really there. I was thinking things that weren't true about myself. And it's really easy, you guys. It's really easy to get off. All it takes is a little tweak. You know, has anyone ever, you guys are Oregon town people, you know about building stuff. You know that siding, if it's just like a quarter inch off and it's not level, what eventually happens? It all goes like this, because that little bit that was off eventually, because you're lining it up to the previous one, and so that little bit that was off from the little one eventually becomes like a like crazy foot. And that's all it takes. All you have to do is believe one lie. You believe one lie, and you begin to spiral. And it's really fast, you guys. It's really fast. Depression can happen like that. It really can. And you have to, when you're in the desert, you have to trust God. And passion is what will sustain you in that desert. Passion will sustain you. Because when you're passionate about God, you believe his promises. You believe what he says. You believe that the desert will not last forever. You believe that the desert, that there's an oasis coming, that the oasis is coming. And the only reason you're in that desert is because God is preparing you, that God is equipping you. He's getting you ready for that oasis. Because if you did not go through that desert, you wouldn't be ready for that oasis. And so a lot of times you guys are in the desert for a purpose. And passion will keep you lined up. Passion for God will keep you lined up with why you're in that desert. Hold on a second. I got so off my notes, I have no idea where I am. Oh, okay. I understand why I wrote that. You ever write something and you don't know really why? You're like, what the heck? Okay, so we've had crazy worship times here, right? We've had times where like Clint's been like just laid out on the floor and he had no idea what happened to him. And we've seen Tanner just fall over randomly, and he wasn't even getting prayed for, but he just fell over. And we've seen crazy things happen. Last week we saw a crazy worship service happen where we started praying at pre-service prayer, and Danny, you were there. And I came up here and I was standing. I remember standing right here, and I was like, Danny, or I had the people around me, and I was like, dude, I just feel, it feels off. Like, it just, there's, feels like something's wrong. And I was like, guys, we just need to pray. We need to pray, because I just feel kind of off. And so we started praying, and we started interceding, and then the Holy Spirit just, like, came in and flooded into our hearts, and we were all just crazy, laid out everywhere. That is preparing you for the desert. That is preparing you for the desert. Those times that you guys have had, in those amazing times at summer camp and summer tours, those are preparing you for the desert, because you had super highs, right? You had super highs in your faith, and you got completely transformed. That's preparing you for the desert, because there's a desert coming, and you guys have to be ready for it. You have to recognize whether it's a desert or not. You have to recognize. And that passion will sustain you. It will sustain you. And being changed by God, we've had crazy services where Holy Spirit has just come, and that's preparing you. That's preparing you for the desert, because God is equipping you. He's infilling you with the Holy Spirit so that you can handle that desert. He's giving everything you need. He's packing your backpack. He's packing your canteen with the living water, so that when you're out in that desert, you're relying on that living water. You're relying on the things God has placed in you so that you can be ready for that desert. So that's what God's been doing. When we've had those crazy worship times, that's preparing you. Because check it out. God doesn't want us to seek him for his gifts. God doesn't want us to seek him for his blessings. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to seek him. And sometimes deserts happen so that you can really find out whether you're seeking God or whether you're seeking what he has. And so you find yourself in this desert, and you're like, why the heck am I in this desert? What's going on? You know, I can't, I'm seeing things all over the place. My vision's getting blurred. I have no idea what's going on. Maybe God's testing you. Maybe he's seeing if you are really committed or not. If you really had that strong faith that you thought you had. Because it's in the desert that you find that stuff out. So 1 Peter 4:12. Just in case you don't believe me that there will be deserts, I'm going to show you. 1 Peter 4:12. And so I'm telling you guys this so that you're not like, dang it, I'm going to go through hard times. It's going to be tough. Oh man, what's going to happen? I don't even know if I want to follow God anymore because I know it's going to be hard. I'm telling you this so that you're ready. So that when these things happen, when I say, you know, you're going to go through a desert, and you're like, and then you go through the desert, you're like, hey, Peter said that. And not only this Peter, but that Peter said that. And you're not surprised. You're not like, whoa, what just happened? You're ready for it. You're ready for that desert. Because it's in that desert that you get prepared. So 1 Peter 4:12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering. Everyone say suffering. There will be suffering. Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. As if something strange were happening to you. It's not strange. The painful trial, the desert that you're going to go through is not a strange thing. It's not like this crazy off-the-wall thing that you're like, whoa, this is weird. It's not strange. It's supposed to happen. It's supposed to happen. And that's not because God's mean. He wants to see what you got. And he wants to prepare you for bigger things. Because a lot of times in the desert, you get prepared. You get ready to handle bigger things. Because if you don't develop that perseverance through the desert, you can't handle what God's going to give you later if you don't have that perseverance. Because if God gives you that thing that that comes later and you don't have that humility that you learned in the desert, you're going to puff up with pride and you're going to say, hey, oh, look what I did. And so that's why we go through the deserts. And so do not be surprised by your deserts. Do not be surprised. Don't be surprised if your friends turn on you and start hating you. Don't be surprised because you have the light. You have the light, and the light is shining into darkness, and the darkness is like, wants to stay dark. And it's like, hey, I don't want to see that light. And so it turns on you. I've lost a lot of friends becoming a Christian, and it was worth it because they weren't real friends. The friends that I thought were friends would like say they had my back, but at the end of the day, when it really came down to it, they had their own back. They didn't really care about me. And so losing friends over Christ is really a good thing. Losing friends over following God is okay. It's going to be okay because God will supply your needs according to his glorious riches. And so deserts are good. Love the deserts. And it almost hurts to say that because it's like, how can you love a desert? There's nothing beautiful about it. There's not like some gorgeous landscape in the desert that you can look at all the time. You're like, oh, that's such a nice desert. No, it's like ugly and barren. And there's like skeletons all over the place. And there's like cactuses that hurt you. And you have to learn to love it. You have to love the deserts. There's been times in my life where I've been like, is God even real? You know? What's God doing up there? Because I'm not really feeling it today, God. And that's a desert. You have to recognize the deserts when they come. Because deserts show you what you're really made of. Deserts show you how much faith do you really have. Because God will not give you more than you can handle. And if you go into that desert and you begin to waver and you begin to, you know, look back to things of this world, well, how much faith do you really have? You know? And so the deserts show what you're made of. They show you who you really are. Deserts show you who you really are. They show you who you really are and what place you're really at in your faith. Deserts show you this, and it's good. You have to love the deserts because it's good. It's so good to know that, hey, maybe I don't have as much faith as I thought, and I need this desert. I need more faith. And so at the end of the desert, when you get to that oasis, you've learned, hey, I don't have as much faith as I thought. And then God gives you more. God gives you more. He gives you more stuff. Because at the end of the desert, there is oasis. There's always going to be an oasis at the desert. Why? Because God says that he turns everything to good, to those called according to his name. And that's what you guys need to hold on to. You guys need to have passion. Passion will sustain you. Passion will bring those words of life back to you when you need them the most. And that's why I'm telling you guys have to start listening to the podcasts. You guys need to start listening to other men of God speaking the word. Because when you get that word and filled in you, things come out of you that you're like, dang, where'd that come from? And it's the Holy Spirit. Because there's a transfer. When you listen to the word, it's not just listening to it. There's a transfer that happens. There's an impartation of faith that comes. And so when that hard time comes, when that trial comes, you're like, hey, this is hard. But I remember when Peter said that hard times would come, and I'm not going to give up. Because at the end of this desert, there's going to be an oasis. And there's going to be a blessing that's going to be more than what I had before. God is going to give me more. He's going to give me more responsibility. Because God will not give you anything that you can't handle right now. He won't. You know, if you want to be a good guitar player, if you want to be a good drummer, you have to invest. You have to invest like crazy. You have to spend time doing the hard things, doing the things that make your hand just like hurt. I've done some crazy like guitar exercises, and at the end of it, my hand's like stuck in this position, and I'm like, I can't move my fingers. You know, it's because they hurt so much. And if I didn't do that, I would not progress. I would stay at the same place that I've been at for a long time. And that's what happens in your guys' faith, is that God sees that, hey, you're not really progressing, you're not really investing, so he won't give you more than you can handle. And you'll kind of stay, you'll kind of sustain. But and really, you're either going up the hill or down the hill. In your faith, you're either going up or you're sliding back down. And so God will not give you more than you can handle. He will only give you things that you can handle right now. Because he knows that if he were to unload everything he has on Danny, that he has for Danny in his entire life, Danny might not be able to handle it. Danny might well up with pride, or he might, you know, get really depressed because he feels like he can't do it. And so God will not give you anything that you can handle right away. I mean, because who wants to be blessed by God? He wants to be on fire for the Lord. I do. Who wants to be further in the faith than they are now? Love the desert. Love the desert because it's good. It's hard, but it's good. At the end of the desert, you're like, dang, you know, I tripped a couple times in that desert, but I made it through it. I made it through that desert, and you realize what you're made of. The most important thing you can do in the desert is seek God. That's the most important thing, because you have to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of your faith, because he is the truth. He is the truth. Amen? God is the truth. And you have to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, because if you do not fix your eyes in the desert on Jesus Christ, like I said, you'll begin to see mirages. You'll begin to see things. You'll begin to see things that aren't really there. You'll begin to think things that aren't really happening. And you'll begin to turn. And you'll begin just to get a little bit off. And by the end of the desert, you're like way lost, and you have no idea where you are. And so you have to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Because the desert is coming. And right now, you guys need to be preparing yourself for that desert. You guys need to be ready. Because a lot of you are back in school, a lot of you are going back to school. That's a desert. That's a dry place. That's a place that's not full of life. There's a lot of death at your guys' schools. And you have to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. You have to fix your eyes on him. Because if you look around and you look around at all the people that are not there, they're there, but you look around and you see all the people and you see all the death and you start fixing your eyes on that, you're going to start thinking, there's no way we can see the school come to Christ. There's no way that I can have any impact on all these people, because there's just too many. There's just too much death and I can't do it. And so you have to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ and remember what he says. Remember what he says. You just be faithful. Be faithful with what he says to do. You don't have to evangelize to everyone. You don't have to make sure you hit every single person with a 180 card. You just talk to the ones that God says to. And I'm not saying, you know, sometimes like I'm saying, you know, be spirit-led, but also you can just invite. Even if you're not spirit-led, just invite people. And let me show you guys how to invite real quick, because I think you guys need to be shown. Because I know for me, like, when I was inviting people, like, I didn't really know how to do it. Like, I was like, how do you invite people? You know, how do you evangelize? And I'm going to show you guys. You ready? Hi. Because you're probably going to be nervous, you know, and so you just say, hi, my name is Peter, what's your name? Joe, nice to meet you. Hey, Joe, I just wanted to invite you to 180. And I don't know if you're doing anything, but you got to check it out, dude. It's awesome. God is moving. He has moved in my life. You know, he can move in your life. And hey, you got a broken leg. Can I pray for you? And just like that. Or here's another way you can invite. You ready? Hi, what's your name? Richie, my name is Peter. Nice to meet you. Hey, I just want to invite you to church tonight. There you go. That's easier, but you have to be led by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Like, you know, like whether to draw out the conversation or whether to just say, hey, you know, you should come. You know, you can tell them a little bit about it. You know, hey, it's fun. You know, and be passionate about it, because if you're not passionate about it, you're not going to want to come, right? If I come up to you, I'm like, you want to come to this church thing? I've had someone do that. I've had someone take the card and, like, eat it. It's really funny. And so we have cards, and so we're gonna do some things after I preach. But, okay. So deserts prepare you. You guys are called. You are gifted. You guys are all called. You're all gifted. And in order to fulfill the calling God has in your life, you're going to have to go through a few deserts. You're going to have to go through a few humbling experiences in order to fill the call that God has on your life. Because if God gave you what he has for you 10 years from now, you probably could not handle it. And so you have to be faithful with the small things. You have to be faithful with, you know, if someone has prayed over you, you know, and or if you just feel gifted in evangelism, you have to be faithful in inviting that one person that God says invite that person. And you have to be faithful with the small things. You have to be faithful and not be afraid to be wrong. You guys remember the story I told last, I think it was on Friday, when I went up to the person and I was like, I felt for sure God spoke to me. I my heart was beating, and what usually happens when God speaks to me was happening. And I went up to this person or a group of people, and I was like, hey, do any of you guys have any health issues? And all of them, no. And I'm like, oh, shoot. And I walked away, and I was like, man, what happened? I felt for sure God spoke to me, and I felt like God spoke to me in that moment. I just wanted you to be faithful. And so you have to be faithful with the small things. And you have to be faithful with when God says, go talk to that person, you go talk to that person. Because he won't give you this profound revelation if he knows that you won't even talk to that person. Right? And so you have to be faithful with the small things. You have to be faithful when God says, hey, you should talk to that girl and encourage her. You have to be faithful with the small things. And so, and the desert is where it happens. Love the desert. Love the desert because it's good. It's good times in the desert. You get to hang out with cactuses and crazy lizards. And you get to have fun in the desert. And God sustains you. God will not give you guys anything more than you can handle. God will give you, he will supply everything you need in order to make it through that desert. He will. He'll give you everything you need. You guys are more than capable of making it through every single desert you come up against. But you have to be passionate. You need to have that passion for Christ. You need to have that passion. You need to have that foundation in him. You need to be unshakable. And you need to know the promises of God. You need to know the promises of God. You guys, don't read the Bible just because it's your Christian duty, but read it because it's what God says about you. It's the promises that he has for you. What he says in here is what he thinks about you. What he says in here is how he feels about you and what he has promised you. And my Bible says that he will not give you anything more than you can handle. And so when that hard time comes, when that hard time happens, and you're in the middle of that desert, and you're having that hard time, you remember, God will not give me anything more than I can handle. God has equipped me. He has equipped me. And I know it's easy to say that for me now. Like, it's easy to say, you know, oh, love the desert. But It's hard. I mean, saying that in the desert is like, you're like talking to no one because you're alone in the desert. You feel alone. You're not alone, but you feel alone. And you're out in like the middle of this like terrain, and there's like birds freaking out over there, and there's the cactuses are like doing their thing, and you're like, what the heck am I even out here? Yeah, just like that. And you're like, and you have to listen to the right voices, because there's going to be a lot of voices coming towards your way, because the Bible also says that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a liar or like a lion, looking for who he can devour. And so he's looking for a way to devour your life. He's looking for a way to take you out. He can't unless you let him, but he's looking for a way to take you out. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, but he's looking for a way. And you have to know which voice is your savior's when you're in the desert, because there's going to be a lot of voices coming at you. They're going to be voices like, God doesn't love you. God has left you. He doesn't love you anymore. He doesn't care about you. You know, you're not a strong Christian because you messed up. And those voices are going to come, and they're going to say you're worthless. You're always going to be like this. You're always going to be this way. And it's going to just bombard you. It's going to be like, bam, bam, bam. And you have to know which voice is God's and which voice is the enemy's, because that's going to happen. And sometimes, you guys, I feel like that's exactly what happens. What I was doing to him, sometimes I feel like it's what's happening in my mind, where someone's just like, bam, wrong thought. And I'm like, no, I can't think that. And you have to discern, you have to know which voice is God's, because I guarantee you those voices were not God. I know for sure those voices are not God. And you have to know that. You have to know that in the desert. And so I'm getting you guys ready. Everyone say, I'm getting ready for the desert. You're getting ready for the desert. That's what you're doing right now. You guys are getting truth infilled into your spirits right now. You guys are getting the life poured into you, so that when that desert comes, you'll know exactly what to do. You'll know exactly what to do. You won't be like, whoa, what just happened? This hard time just came out of nowhere. But you'll be like, okay, wait a minute. Hard times are going to come. This is not strange. I can do it. I can make it through this because God has equipped me. And you begin to speak to yourself and you say, God has equipped me. God has anointed me for this. God has set me free. I am no longer that person. I'm no longer what the enemy is saying that I am. I am not that, in Jesus' name. And you speak it out, because there's power of life and death in the tongue. And I'm talking about, you speak it out loud and you say, I'm not that. That's not me. You can tell the devil to shut up. I give you guys permission. You can tell him to shut up. And you just say, devil, shut your mouth. I know who I am in Christ. Leave me alone. Okay? The desert is where giant slayers come from. That's where they come from. If you want to slay giants in your life, you have to go through the desert. David, King David, before he was king of Israel, he was a sheep herder. And he spent a lot of time with the sheep. And tending sheep is not fun. I don't know if you guys are farm people, you know. Sheep are not fun. They stink. They're dumb. They don't listen to you. Yeah, you know. And David spent a lot of time with these sheep. You know, and that's not the greatest job in the world. But it was preparing him. It was teaching him humility. It was in that time. It was in that desert of his life. And it wasn't a literal desert. It was just a time of training. It was a time of just preparing and equipping so that he could be king. He could be king over Israel. Because how many of you guys know people are sometimes like sheep? They're a little bit dumb, right? Like, yeah, we know. And so God was preparing him. God was preparing him. with the sheep to be able to lead Israel. It's in the desert is where high caliber leaders come from. Who wants to be a leader? Raise your hand if you want to be a leader in this ministry. You hope so. You're going to have to go through a couple deserts. Because really, if you want to be someone who's equipped and able to pray for people, you have to have a high caliber level of leadership. And you have to be able to really be in that place of spiritual maturity so you can come up to people and pray for them. You need to have that high caliber if you want to be a leader in this ministry. You need to exhibit that leadership now. And you need to exhibit that leadership that you want. You have to exhibit that now. Because authority is not taken, it's given. And so if you want to have authority in this ministry, you have to start being a leader now. And you have to not wait for someone to say, hey, you're a leader. Hey, I'm going to make you a leader. You are a leader. You are a leader, Clint. You can't wait for that. You have to start being a leader now. You have to start encouraging people now. You guys, we are all greeters. And one thing that has marked Turning Point is that when people come into Turning Point, everyone's friendly. Everyone's loving. Everyone greets everybody. And you guys should, when new youth, when people that don't really know anything and they come into this place, you guys are all greeters. And you are all, the responsibility is on you to make them feel welcome. Because I can only hit so many people, right? I'm one man. I cannot greet every single new youth that comes into this ministry. I will try. I will try to hit as many as I can, but really, I can't. And so you guys are all greeters. And it's a good place to be. Because if people come in here and they see groups of people just kind of linked together over in the corners, you know, they're kind of hanging out. You can't really, you know, and they're kind of, they feel shunned, right? They feel like, you know, there's no way I can get connected to this ministry because everyone is kind of already, they have their circle of friends, you know. And we don't want that. That's not what we want. And so you guys are all greeters. You guys are all greeters. Mac, you're a greeter. And I want you guys, when youth come into this place, you know, encourage them. Say, hey, you know, how'd you hear about tonight? Hey, you know, what's going on in your life? You know, and you just get to know them. You know, I'm not talking about greeting like, hey, how are you? Nice to meet you. Not like that. I'm talking about, hey, what's your name? Danny. You can't think of any other names? Okay. And so say, hey, Danny, how are you? How'd you hear about tonight? From a friend. You heard it from a friend. Yeah, and you just begin to talk to them. You make them feel welcome. And you know, you just say, hey, you know, nice to meet you. It's good to meet you. You know, we have Espresso over there if you have any money. If not, you can play ping pong for free. And so you just begin to make them feel welcome. You make them feel like they belong here because they do. They belong in this ministry. They need to get their lives transformed. Mac, people need to be greeted by you. Colton, you too. People need to be greeted by you. Josh, Dakota, Jared, Jordan, JJ. People need to be greeted by you guys. And they need to know that they're welcome in this place. And so all of you, you guys are all in charge of this ministry. You guys remember what I talked about last week? Who was here last week? Do you guys remember what I said? About the ministry? It's not on the podcast, sorry. So, who remembers what I said about the youth ministry? Does anyone remember? This is really important, and I want you guys to write this down once you remember. You're all leaders of it. I said something really particular. I said something really... what? Nope. Ownership. I talked to you guys last week about ownership. And I talked to you about it's up to you to see this ministry grow. You have to take ownership. You have to take responsibility that in order to get your friends here, it's not my job. It's yours. If you want to see your friends come to Christ, you have to talk to them. I'm not going to be able to hit every single person in Lebanon. There's like, you know, there's 15,000 people in Lebanon. There's probably like, you know, I don't know, like 5,000 kids. I don't know, 5,000 youth. I can't hit every single one of them. I'm sorry. It would take me a long time to invite every single youth in Lebanon. So it's up to you. Everyone say it's up to me. It's up to you. And so some of you, this might be hard. Some of you, it might be hard to invite people to youth. For me, it's not. It used to be super awkward going up to people and saying, hey, you want to come to my youth group? That used to be the hardest thing in my life. It was like dying. And I'd be like, hi, how are you? My name is Peter. I forgot what I was going to say. That's what it used to be like. And it used to be super awkward. And I couldn't think of what I was going to say because I was like, shoot, they're scary. They're going to hate me. But after time, after consistently doing this and being like, ha, 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 my name's Peter, ha, after consistently doing that for about a year or so, I was like, hey, my name's Peter. Would you like to come to youth group tonight? Can I pray for you? Okay, good. And so it takes a little bit of practice, okay? And I understand, you know, you guys don't want to be rejected by people. I understand. You know, you want to find acceptance, but find acceptance in the Lord and don't worry about them. Because they aren't rejecting you, they are rejecting Christ. And so if they tear the card up or they eat it or they throw it back at you, just be like, hey, you're not rejecting me, you're rejecting God. So you can talk to him. Yeah. I'm not kidding. I've handed people, I say, hey, you want to come to youth group tonight? And they're like, and they eat it. It's the funniest thing. I've had people cuss me out. I've had people like, you know, just say like off the wall, rude things to me. But you just have to realize that they're not rejecting you. And it's okay. You know, the Lord will get them. The Lord will help them see that, you know, they need to come to church and they need to know God. And so you guys have to take ownership. Everyone say ownership. Ownership. Because this ministry, if it grows, it will depend on you. It'll depend on how much you guys pray. It'll depend on how much you guys seek God. It's not on me. And some of it is on me, where I do have to, you know, lead the way. Because I'm the youth pastor, and I guess I should probably lead or something. I have to do some things. But you guys, if you guys want to see your friends changed, you have to take ownership and be like, hey, you need to come to church tonight. Because God has a word for you. And God's going to change your life. And so it's up to you. And so some of you might be entering the desert right now. Some of you might be entering the desert right now, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. And so let's all stand to our feet, and I'm going to pray for you guys. I'm going to pray for you guys. And I want everyone here to receive this, because you guys will go through deserts. I guarantee it. Uh-huh. And you have to be ready for it. You have to be ready. You have to not be afraid of the desert. You have to love it. And so a lot of you are going into dry places called schools. And not a lot of people there are Christians. And not a lot of people there are standing up for their faith. And so you guys, it's easy to be distracted. It's easy to have your eyes fixed on something else. Have your eyes fixed on what they're fixing their eyes on. Because a lot of your friends are fixing their eyes on guys, fixing their eyes on girls, fixing their eyes on drugs, alcohol. They're fixing their eyes on, you know, you name it. Whatever it is, they're fixing their eyes on it. And it's easy to, when the whole crowd is going this way and you're trying to go that way, it's a little bit difficult. Right? because a lot of people going this way and one person going that way, it's hard to fight that crowd. And so you guys have to fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. All right, so before you guys go, I want to say one more thing. So going back to school is not business as usual. You can't go back to school the same way you did last year. You have to realize that a lot of you have been changed. And like I said last on Friday, you should be your teacher's favorite student. You should be the most supporting. You should be doing all your homework. Yes, I said it, all your homework. Because it honors the teacher. It honors the authority that's placed above you. And really, you want to get your teachers saved too. You know, don't just focus on just the students. You want to get your teachers saved too. And so, you know, the teachers should love it when you're in their class. If they hate it, there's a problem. There's a problem. And you're not going to have any success if you try to live your faith for Christ. If you're like mouthing off the teacher, or you're like being distracting, or you're doing anything like that, it's not going to work. You're going to die in the desert. I guarantee it. Amen. All right, let's do it. Let's change the world, starting with Lebanon.